God is preparing an army. He is preparing an army to go forth and to conquer. To conquer unbelief, to conquer doubt, to conquer sickness, to conquer stress, to conquer poverty, conquer all those things that would come against his people. And this army is being raised up even now as I speak. God is talking to the hearts of people all over the world. And some of these people are the most amazing people you'll ever see. Drug addicts, prostitutes, drunkards. We are seeing God move today just a little in a way that God showed me 27 years ago. And it's going to increase. We are seeing the parable of the wedding feast being brought together right now. Those that were bidden have refused to come in. He's going to the highways and the byways. And he's going to raise up a people that will confound the wise. He's going to pick young people. He's going to pick old people. Not the first time he took a man that was 80 years old and started his ministry. He's going to pick men and women. He's putting his spirit in them. He's putting his spirit on them. They're going to be bold. And they're going to go forth and declare war. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. And you guys be seated. Take a seat. We're going to do some busy's work tonight. We're going to stomp on some devils tonight. We're going to shatter some things tonight. The Lord has released me, and I'm excited about this, to tell you something. And if you hear what I'm saying, you're going to be as excited as I am. If you hear what I'm saying, you might want to climb one of these tent poles. You might want to run around the tent a couple of times. In John chapter 1, it is written, "And as to many as believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Now we read that and we look at that and we say, oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But do you know what it means? Do you have any clue what that means? When God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word created there is bara. It means to create perfectly without a spot or a wrinkle or anything wrong with it. That was a perfect earth. That was a perfect earth. In verse 2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Go back in the original King James, and it says, "The earth became without form and void." See, they changed it around 1927, 1930. But in the original it said became. Go back and look in the Hebrew, and the word there can be either way. But a lot of people didn't understand the became, so they made it was. Do you understand what I'm saying? The earth was not created toho waboho, without form and void. It was created perfect. It was created perfect. In Ezekiel 28, we read where Lucifer, the anointed cherub, created of God, one of the three archangels that stood under the Trinity. Michael stood under the Father. Lucifer stood under the Son. And Gabriel stood under the Holy Spirit. Each of these three archangels had a third of the angels in heaven under their authority. When Lucifer rebelled against Christ in the Godhead, he was cast down. He was cast down to the ground. And in Ezekiel 28, it says that he was cast down in the sight of all them that beheld him. There were people on that earth. This was the earth of the timeless past. This was the destruction that Peter spoke of in his letters. This first earth being destroyed, Lucifer cast down on it, the third of the fallen angels cast out of heaven. Go back in your Old Testament and you'll find in Genesis they're referred to as the sons of God. When it says the sons of God who left their first estate came down and took the daughters of men. It's no coincidence that in John chapter 1 it says that to him, he that believeth, wait a minute, to as many as believe on him giveth he them power to become the sons of God. When God recreated the earth, starting with Genesis 1 verse 3, if you'll go back and read that, he didn't have to recreate everything. Some of it just came forth because it was already there. He recreated that earth that was destroyed with the fall of Lucifer. Now, I expect you to go and read this for yourself in the Scriptures. But this is something that Satan does not want you to know. He does not want you to understand because he doesn't want you to know what God has in store for you. He is petrified of this doctrine. He is petrified that the church of the living God will find out who they really are. When God created mankind in Genesis chapter 1, it was just that. He created mankind. Adam was not created in chapter 1. Adam was made in chapter 2. Mankind in chapter 1 was created by the spoken word of God. God said, "Let us create man in our image after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. After his likeness created he him, male and female created he them. He created them with a spoken word. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that man, those people that he created, had the right to eat of every tree and the fruit thereof that bared seed. Every one of them. In Genesis chapter 2, you find that God creates a garden eastward called Eden. And there he forms a man out of the dust of the ground. He didn't create this man. He formed him. And he called him Adam. And Adam's job was to take the position under Christ that Lucifer had. As Lucifer was responsible for mankind on the earth, so was Adam responsible for mankind on the earth. Adam was not able to eat of every tree. The people in Genesis 1 were, but Adam was not. God said, "Of every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge between good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt most surely die." Anybody with me still? I know this is strange to some people. We've always been taught differently. But if you search the Scriptures, you will see that what I am saying is true and right. Adam could not eat of the tree of life. Tree of knowledge. Thank you, son. He could not eat of the tree of knowledge between good and evil. But he could eat of the tree of life. But when Adam fell, he was cast out of the garden. He was cast out of the garden, and flaming swords, cherubim, were put in front of that gate to keep him out. All right, Jesus was the second Adam. Now, I want to tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ has never changed. This whole message has been for weeks and weeks and weeks. God's had me preaching about coming across the Jordan. And the message has never changed. It was the same message in Genesis chapter 2. to Adam. You can eat of the tree of life, but don't eat of the tree of knowledge. The tree of life is the gospel. The tree of knowledge is the law. Righteousness cometh by the tree of life, God accepts. Righteousness by the law, He cannot accept, because no man can do it. Only one ever did it, and that was Jesus. Adam represented the old man. Jesus represents the new man. When God sent Moses into Pharaoh, He said, "Tell Pharaoh, let my people go, for Israel is my firstborn." The firstborn died in the desert. It was the second generation that went on and conquered. Moses was a type and shadow of Jesus. He came with the gifts. He came with the inheritance. But he died on that side of Jordan. Joshua went forth and delivered the gifts that God had. Jesus came and he died under the law. He died under the law on that side of Jordan. He was resurrected from the dead, gave His Spirit to the apostles. And the apostles, as Joshua, went forth and gave forth the gifts to the church. God is restoring His church. And in order to restore His church, He's got to restore the fivefold ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. God has never ended with those. They've always been there. Satan wants you to believe there are no apostles. He wants you to believe there are no prophets. He wants you to believe that the evangelists are a bunch of weirdos in tents, and that the pastors are all in glory and the teachers are a bunch of fruitcakes in universities. And that's not the way it is. God has always had a people, and He always will have a people. But church, what I get to tell you tonight is, what are those people for? When He said in His Word, "As many as believed on Him, gave He them power to become the sons of God," church, Jesus Christ is building Him up a church that is going to take the place of those fallen angels, and they are going to fill God's heaven, and they are going to fill His glory, and they are going to worship Him and serve Him as He intended in the very beginning. You are called of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill His house. You are called of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him. You're not called to be sickly. You're not called to be all burdened up with problems and all kinds of garbage. That's not what God has called you for. God's called you for a freedom. He's called you to freedom from worry and fear and anxiety and sickness and all these diseases. That's not God's plan for His people. And Satan doesn't want you to know it. He wants you to believe that there is no hope for you. He wants you to believe that you're just a poor old Christian saved by grace. Let me tell you, I was a poor old Christian saved by grace. But praise be to God, when I found out what God had for me, there wasn't nothing poor about me anymore. This old funny-looking preacher with a fat belly, false teeth, flat feet that stink, all of a sudden realized that there was nothing greater in the Lord, nothing greater in the world than to serve God and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk forth in His power and His might. There is no sickness that can stand before this preacher. There is no demon that can stand before this preacher. Why? Because I'm good? God forbid. It's because Jesus is good.
Amen.
I've said it every night, and I'll continue to say it. If you come here looking for a good preacher, forget it. You're not going to find one. There's nothing good about me. But there is something good about Jesus. There is something good about the Father. There is something good about the Holy Ghost. And that is what I serve, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and their name is Jesus.
Amen.
Now somebody's going to run off and say, "Oh, Richard, he's gone off the deep end now. He's a Jesus-only freak." The Bible teaches us there is one God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." Amen? I don't have a problem with that. I also don't have a problem with what the Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. I don't have a problem with that either. When you look at me, you see one. Amen? But in reality, there are three of me. There is Richard the body that you see, Richard the soul that you're listening to, and Richard the spirit that is my life that communes with God. And the three make one Richard. It's a very simple thing. God said in the beginning, let us make man after our image. That's what he looks like. And after our likeness. That's what's inside. You were created to be like God. Not be God, but to be like him. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. And God has provided for all three. All three. But maybe not in the way you expect. When Jesus said, go teaching all nations, that whatsoever things I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, he wasn't talking about a method there. He was talking about three separate baptisms. The baptism of the Father is the blood of Jesus. The Father is the baptizer. The baptism of the Son is the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the baptizer. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism where he says of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, that's water. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. The baptism of blood is for your soul. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for your spirit. The baptism of water is for your body, but not this body. This body's under the curse. This body stays in the desert. This body does not cross over. It's for the new body. It's for the body you will receive. It's the glorified body it's for. And that's why by faith you are baptized into Christ. Not into this body. Into Christ. This body's under the curse. This body will die. This body has sin in it. You try to serve God in this body and glorify this body, you're no different than Cain. Cain offered that which was cursed to God and God would not accept it. Abel offered that which was acceptable and God took it. Amen, Brother Yusuf, it's the truth. Cain got all bent out of shape because God wouldn't accept his sacrifice and raised up and killed his brother Abel. I want to tell you something. There are people in churches out here that like to kill me for what I'm preaching right now. Because they don't like it. I've taken away their glory. Taken away their self-righteousness. They want to stand before God and say, God, look how good I am. I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do the other thing. And God looks down on them and wants to puke. Because they're no different than Cain. No different than Cain. You're saved. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb. You're saved by the grace of God. You're saved because Jesus Christ died for you. And you're saved by the works that He did, not the works that you do.
Amen.
And if you're going to be the sons of God, you've got to know this. You've got to understand this. Because the God of the universe, the God of creation, is restoring the church to the truth. And there's a couple things He's got to get straight. To the church. And one of those things is obedience. That word that I like so much, obey. And I'm not talking about a season made in Baltimore. Obey. The one that people are trying to take out of the marriage vows today. Or the women are trying to get the men to put it in there for them. Church, the Word of God says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's pretty hard. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as the sin of iniquity and idolatry. God does not want a stubborn people. And He does not want a rebellious people. He wants an obedient people. In Matthew, some people call it the Beatitudes, Jesus preaching. said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of God." I always used to wonder about that, Scott. I always run around saying, "Lord, what does that mean? I got to be poor? My spirit's got to be poor?" And it was pretty stupid for me to even wonder about it, because when the Lord showed it to me, I just went, "Duh, how dumb can I be?" I used to break horses. When I was a youth, I used to break horses. And when you have a horse that's very spirited, you call him a spirited horse. Highly spirited. Well, what's the opposite of highly spirited? Poor. Huh? Can you imagine going into battle with a green broke horse? Can you imagine trying to go into battle with a horse that's bucking every which way and running every which way? You'd be so busy trying to keep that horse under control, you'd get killed. You think God wants a horse like that or a person like that in His ministry? You think God wants somebody in His ministry that's got the power over life and death that He can't control? As a son of God and as true believers in Jesus Christ, if you believe the power, if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have power. You have power to speak both life and death. You have power to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. You have power to do miracles. That's promised in the gospel. I don't care what some cemetery preacher says. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. You have all power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Janet Reno, come try to burn this church down and see what happens. You're going to find out about a power you don't know nothing about. Now, whether or not he was right or wrong is none of my business. What preached is his business between him and God. But the government had no business going in there burning that church down. And the Christians sat back and kept their mouth shut and said, "Oh, it's good for them. Look at that." Next thing you know, they're going to be doing it to the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterian and the Church of God and the Church of God of Prophecy. Why? Because the church has lost its salt. That's why. I'm preaching hard tonight. But I'm chasing some devils off. Got to chase devils off with word. They don't like the word. Let the people stay. Let the devils leave. Amen?
Amen.
Church has got to get its head on straight. Its head is Jesus. Amen. Not my mother, not my wife. Jesus is my head. Amen?
Amen.
All right, over in Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 7 it says, "Remember them who have the rule over you." You go in a church today and ask the person in the church, "Who has the rule over you?" "Well, nobody has the rule over me. I stand before God as a sovereign." Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Even Jesus recognized his authority over him. Jesus could not do a miracle except he was under authority. Amen? So where do these people get off? Does not the Word of God say that it's out of the heart? The words that come out of your mouth is what comes from your heart? Huh? Didn't he say it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth the body, but that which cometh out of the mouth? For out of the heart comes the evil intents and desires. Huh? And that's what defiles the body? How many times have you ever tried to go and talk to somebody, Pastor? Try to talk to somebody and tell them what the Lord's showing you. And they say, "Well, I'll go pray about it. And if God tells me, I'll believe it. And if he doesn't, I'm not going to believe it." That ever happen? Of course it happens all the time. You know why? They're workers of iniquity. That's why. Stop and think about it. And when somebody does that with me, I pull their string. I'm not afraid to pull their string. That's why I can't be a pastor. I can't pastor churches. I bring them in and run them off. As fast as they come in, I run them off. I got to turn them over to somebody else and let them hog time and keep them there, because I just keep chasing them off. Give me enough time, I'll find something to make you mad. Amen? Praise God. But anyway, got myself off key there. Where was I? Yeah, after that. That's right. You take, I'd go and nail these people, and they'd say, well, I'm waiting for God to tell me. I say, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say there's one mediator between man and God, and he's Jesus Christ? Well, yeah. Well, what are you trying to do? Pass by Jesus Christ and become the first? See, that's the mindset of the devil. The mindset of the devil is to bypass Jesus. And now nine times out of ten, well, I don't really mean that. You know, I don't mean that. Yes, it came from your mouth. It came out of your heart. Just because you got caught, don't try to change it. Amen. Our mediator is Jesus Christ. God is not going to talk to you unless he does it through Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, which comes by Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Remember them that have the rule over you. Who has the rule over you? The Word of God says, them that have preached unto you the Word of God. Whose follow? Whose faith follow? Amen? God is so smart. You know, it took me a while to realize that God is a little bit smarter than I am. In fact, a whole lot of little bits, all strung together odd infinity. Because when it really comes down to it, I'm not wrapped too tight and I'm not too bright, son. And God's constantly showing me how smart He is and how stupid I am. And I praise Him for it. All right? Remember them that have the rule over you, who have preached unto you the Word of God. Now, preaching the Word of God isn't standing up behind a pulpit, opening up a book, taking out your notes, and delivering a sermon. That's not preaching the Word of God. That's teaching or exhorting at the most. You want to find out what preaching is, you get in the Word of God and do a Bible search on preaching. Preaching is delivering the Word of God as God gives it. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have preached unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow. You don't follow that man. You follow their faith. Now, how are you going to know what kind of faith they have? Oh, well, Brother Smith over there, he's a great man of faith. He's a great man of faith. How do you know? Oh, well, you know, he's been preaching for 54 years. Man, he gets up there and gums his sermons, and he still has his little bread line, and he still does this, he does that. That's not faith. That's works. It doesn't take faith to stand in a pulpit year after year after year, deliver a canned speech, collect your salary and go home. That doesn't take faith. It doesn't even take faith, church, to put a tent up, put together a team, play some songs, and talk in a microphone. That doesn't take faith. It helps. Amen? It helps. But you don't really need it to do that. You want to know what takes faith? Have somebody drop dead of a heart attack in your service one day. And then walk over there and say, you can't do that in my service. In Jesus' name, come up and be alive. That takes faith. Somebody comes in with cancer. You rebuke that cancer and get rid of that cancer. That takes faith. Faith in what? In yourself? No. If I waited to have faith in my ability, I would never do anything. You know what I'd be doing? I'd be sitting in some church pew somewhere. Like everybody else. Huh? I'm preaching hard and God bless it. And God bless these people. God loves every one of you. But he's about to do a move here in Claremont. And he's got some things for me to say that you need to hear if you're going to be a part of it. I'm leaving. I might be back next year if the Lord sends me back and if he doesn't take me home. Amen? I hope he sends me back. I kind of like to go home. But in the meantime, I'll go and do whatever he says. But when I leave, do you think Jesus leaves? No. He's still going to be here. But he's going to want some people that he can deal with and he can trust. So I've got to say some things that you've got to hear. You've got to get your church in order. You've got to get lined up with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. The church is male. Male, not female. It's male. I was up there in Vermont, and these people were hollering up there about the homosexual problem. I said, why are you so surprised? We were singing a song, Making War in the Heavenlies. Nothing can happen in the natural until it is first done and accomplished in the heavenlies. Nothing can be accomplished natural until it's first done in the spirit. Church, this homosexual thing in Vermont's been going on for a long time in the spirit before it ever got to the natural and in the whole country. This problem started a long, long time ago, before I was born even. It started. I wasn't even on this planet when it started. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I told a pastor up there in Vermont. I said, what is a homosexual? He's a man that's lost his identity. He thinks he's a woman. I said, do you agree with that? He said, oh, yeah, I agree with that. I said, what do you think the church is? Well, we're the bride. I said, no, you're Christ. The church is the body of Christ. I said, when the church, who is supposed to wear the armor of God and go forth victoriously as an army, as the body of Christ, thinks it's a woman, it's no different than a homosexual. That's hard. And I've had people get mighty mad at me. But it's the truth. Since 1974, I have made a thing, and I have said this. Show me two scriptures in the King James Bible, New Testament, two scriptures that says the church is the bride of Christ, and I will pay you $1,000. You will not find it. It's not there. Never was there, never will be. New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. And the church is the guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God has given the church, if the church will believe, the power to become the sons of God, to take their place in God's heavens under Christ to rule, if the church will obey. That's why it says, remember them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves as... Oh, no. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have preached unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, their life. He's speaking of apostles there, church, if you really want to get down to it. Then in verse 17 of Hebrews, verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves as them that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. He doesn't say you're going to go to hell. He just says it's not going to be profitable. Amen? What's it mean to obey them that have the rule over you? Go back and read Joshua chapter 1 and find out. Go back and read John chapter 17 and find out. Jesus Christ called the disciples, made them apostles. And then he said that he sent them out in the same way the Father sent him out. And if they were heard, he'd pray for them. Go back and look at that. In one place he says, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these that thou hast given me out of the world. Speaking of those 12. And then he said, one of them is the son of perdition. That means the seed of Satan. And then later on in the chapter, he comes back and he says, and I pray not for these only, but all of them who believe on me through the word of their testimony. Jesus was setting up his line of authority right there. If you don't believe in apostles, then you're denying Christ's authority. And that's what's going on in the church today right now. That's why you've got so many different denominations out here. In Hebrews chapter 11. No. Yes, 4. In chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Ephesians. Thank you. I did that again, didn't I? I keep trying to do that. Just testing you. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints is the job of the apostles and prophets. Because in Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 5, it clearly states that the only people God gives his mysteries to are the apostles and the prophets. He doesn't give them to the evangelists. He doesn't give them to the pastors, and he doesn't give them to the teachers. And they're the only ones qualified to perfect the saints. Throw out the apostles and prophets, you've got a stupid church that believes anything. Like that one in Maryland runs around. They read the scripture that says, unless you come to Jesus as a child, you can't go to heaven. So they went out there, and they have a night every night. They call it Child Spirit Night or something, and everybody comes and puts on diapers and runs around on the ground and acts like idiots. Some people will believe anything. If those people at David Koresh's church had read the Bible for themselves and understood half of it, they wouldn't have been caught over there in that thing anyway. If these people out here that belong to Moron Eyes Church, is that how you say it, Moron Eye, or is that Moroni? You may as well believe some stupid angel came down and gave another testimony. If they'd read the Bible and believed that, they wouldn't be following that stupid garbage. It's the truth. Paul said that for the perfecting of the saints, that's the apostles and prophets, the work of the ministry, that's the job of the evangelists and pastors. It's very simple, church. The evangelist goes out in the street and chases people into the church. The pastor's job is to hog time and keep them. He can preach if he wants to, and he can even teach if he wants to. But his job is to keep them there and pastor them. Then the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the job of the teacher. His job is to teach, and it's a line of authority, just as in the military. You have a commander-in-chief. That's Jesus. You have generals. That's the apostles. You have colonels. That's the prophets. You have majors. That's the evangelists. You have captains. That's your pastors. You have lieutenants. That's your teachers. The people in the lower ranks, the sergeants, those are your deacons. Deacons. I've been in some churches too long where the deacons were more like Dickens than anything else. I'm not going to say the denomination, but there was a board of deacons meeting, and this one deacon, he just stood up when they were fighting over the salary on the preacher, and he just stood up and he said, you make me just so sick and tired I could just sit down and die. And he did. That was the end of that meeting. He literally did. He just sat down and died. You got to watch what you say, church. You really do. All right. Now, how long is this supposed to last? How long are these apostles and prophets and all supposed to last? And evangelists, pastors and teachers. Go to the next verse. It says, till, that's Elizabethan for until, till we all come together in the unity. That's one unity. The unity of the faith. That's one faith. We're not talking about a Baptist faith. We're not talking about a Methodist faith. We're not talking about a Pentecostal faith. We're not talking about a Catholic faith. We're not talking about Church of the Holy Palm Tree faith. And we're not talking about Marvin Piss, newfound faith. We're talking about one faith, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ as outlined in the Scriptures. Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me.
Amen.
And He paid for my sins past, present, and future.
Amen.
He paid for your sins past, present, and future. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. They're paid for if you believe on Jesus.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you did stupid today. It's paid for if you believe on Jesus.
Amen.
And I guarantee you'll do something stupid tomorrow. But it's paid for. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus. My dad used to tell me that his goal in life was to have a checkbook that he would never have to stub. And now he's, what, in his 80s? And he still has to stub his checkbook. I told him back then, I said, Dad, you're in the wrong line of work. I've got a checkbook, and I don't ever have to.